giant.
Monster Bullshit is the most listened to podcast in the country.
This does not even deserve a Captain's Log introduction because this is dang serious.
That's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
We both knew this was going to be ass to some extent.
I had gotten myself into the headspace of like, enough time has passed. I can separate the first one as its own unique little great movie that happened a long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
It's there and nothing can ever tarnish it. You know, whatever the second one did, you know, I'm sure it was bad, but there's probably some fun set piece or...
Disappointment won't factor flashy. Into too much into, you know.
Yeah. It took us 4 years since we reviewed Pacific Rim to get here.
That's right.
I'll play the clip. There's a part in that episode when I mentioned that we'll have to watch this movie at some point, and then you sounded very upset about it.
It annoys me that Pacific Rim Uprising exists.
I haven't seen it. We're going to have to buy that and do that for one of these episodes.
Oh, God. I actually, like, don't... I really dread seeing that.
That's how I felt. We were able to put it off just for a moment by watching...
Galgamath.
Galgamath.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we could watch this instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's watch that instead.
I really didn't think it would be this bad.
It's
and I,
bad.
Like I said,
when
we were watching it, it makes perfect sense that it is this bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think it would be that bad. I mean, I should have known. I've seen the clips of Mako dying in the helicopter crash. I've seen the trollololol.
I had no idea about the fucking trollololol thing. I guess that kid's Russian, and that's like a Russian clip or something. Yeah, he's like, my mom used to show me this. And it's like, what? Yeah, this, it's so...
I want to kill whoever made this.
Damn!
I mean, what, you know, what, somebody pitched
ironically.
This.
Right.
And literally. But the pitch for this movie is basically, what if you took Pacific Rim and you fucking wiped your dirty ass with it?
It's, yeah, it messes up, like, literally everything. It's not us being, like, fucking virgins about, like, you know, it's not as cool, it's not this, it's not, it's like really...
It's failing at every level, and I hate to be fucking that guy, because I think what happens in every, I hate the word fandom, but fan group, what happens in every fan group is that a movie will come out, and what happens is a lot of them are big intellectual properties or popular genres, so what happens is... soulless corporations get their hands on those intellectual properties and they make something that is trash.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 or 10 years after that movie comes out, everybody in the fan group says it's time to reevaluate. And they swallow their pride and they say, well, this has been out long enough. I can recognize things in it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that means it's not as bad as I thought it was. And I think that's, I think, people are trying to get to this point with this movie.
Really?
I've seen some people on Twitter say, like, it's not as bad as everybody says it was, which people say that about every fucking bad movie that ever comes out. Give it enough time and people will be like, oh, we overreacted a little bit. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. This is the first time that either of us have ever watched this movie, so if we seem a little more irate than usual, it's because the wounds are still fresh.
If you're wondering what we look like, imagine the irate gamer, okay? Now imagine me.
Imagine the fattest guy you've ever seen. Now imagine him with acne. That's me.
Imagine a guy plugged up to a bunch of machines and with so many health problems that he can't leave one room, okay? You're imagining me.
Uh-huh. That man is Matthew Fields.
Deep.
Plugged into the iron lung.
This pretty soon after the first Pacific Rim, I'm pretty sure Del Toro was saying like there's going to be another one.
Yeah, I saw articles coming out that said Pacific Rim 2 is canceled, and then immediately after Guillermo del Toro was like, no, it's not. I'm fighting to get it made. We're going to get it done. Yeah. I'm really trying hard for this. I was like, okay, cool. And then I think it wasn't until a couple years later that I heard that somebody else, that Guillermo del Toro, I think I remember telling you that. We were in college, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you know, he only has like an executive producer credit on this new one. Yeah. You were like, what?
Yeah, I was like, oh, no.
How can you make Pacific Rim 2 if you're not Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah.
And they did it anyway, and it's fucking horrible.
Not very good. It's, I mean, I remember, like, I was, like, kind of excited about it. I was like, okay, cool. I really like Pacific Rim, you know. And I was like, second one, as far as I know, del Toro's in charge. That's going to be, I trust him. He's someone you can trust with a movie. But then, like, very shortly before, you told me, like, yeah, he's only a producer. And I was like, oh, no. And then, like, I think, like, after that, I saw, like, a YouTube ad trailer for it. And I was like, oh, that looks bad. And my brain shut off. I never saw it.
Yeah.
You know, it was, yeah.
I'm so fucking ready for this wave of soulless media to go by the wayside.
I think it's only going to get worse.
I think we've seen the worst of it, I think. I mean, I it's I mean, it's getting so passé. Rampage was very, very, very similar.
I think I enjoyed Rampage more than
this. No, I was able to enjoy Rampage because that didn't have anything, like, really beautiful or artful attached to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, as much fun as I've had playing Rampage, it wasn't the same thing as Pacific Rim. And watching this movie made me realize that even more. Like, Pacific Rim is not only a movie that I like, it's a movie that means a lot to me. And it fucking hurts watching this leech off of it. But the whole thing, like, the whole, there's an evil company and we're going to meander around, and there's this scrappy young girl who's like, just everything about it is telegraphed. Like, it's just the blandest, most formulaic, throw every script made in the past 7 years into a blender and AI generate this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dumbing down all of this. Anything that made the first one cool, like, instantly, one of the first action set pieces is like a transformer sized robot.
Yeah, yeah.
Already it's like, wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong, incorrect. wrong. That's not how, that's not what made Pacific Rim good.
Yeah.
I mean, we start up and John Boyega's like at a party with like women in bikinis and he's like drinking and it's like,
no, that's incorrect too.
What fucking movie are you making a sequel to?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it really just blows it. Anything, it's weird because it's like, it's formulaic and like really generic and dry in the choices that it makes, but it's not the most formulaic, obvious thing you would go from Pacific Rim. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you had to go out of your way to do something this generic. You know, it's like from Pacific Rim, there's lots of...
The framework's already there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, but it just... From right off the bat, I remember this is one of the things that like immediately turned me off. It's like, it's been 10 years since the original Pacific Rim.
Yeah, for no reason.
Like, what? You know, and I was saying during the movie, it feels like some late sequel, you know?
That's how they're approaching the story.
Yeah, when it's been, what, it was 5 years between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim was pretty fresh on people's minds.
Yeah, people liked it. You know, regular sequel length. Or space of time. And this is, they're treating it like, oh, look at who this old face is, you know, it's like nobody really wants to fucking come back. Like, the girl who plays, Mako is back and that feels like a cameo.
The people who were at the heart of the first one are gone. The Australian guy, the main guy, and Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Are all gone.
Idris Elba died. Well, there's a Photoshop picture of him. In it.
That's one of the many tiny blink and you'll miss it horrifying, terrible screenwriting and filmmaking moments.
It's a really strange way to go.
They use a bunch of footage from the first movie.
Yeah, this like prologue, this like opening, explain everything, which it's like already, it's like you're wasting time. Like, if I'm seeing Pacific Rim 2, you don't really need to explain this to me.
Right.
And it doesn't like go like, okay, there's giant monsters, giant robots, right? we beat them, and now here's setup for what's going on here. No, it like sets up the original mm-hmm. and then says, but now that movie's over, basically, and I'm partying and I'm getting Oreos and sriracha.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that. He's like a junk dealer.
I don't want to be the screeching guy in a room that's not treated for sound, like some of our contemporaries are.
People who made Pulgasari were doing it against their will.
Yeah.
But, you know, this movie makes me want to rip my fucking pubes out. I fucking, like, everything about it is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you make this? John Boyega's he's like a legacy. I said when we were watching it, it doesn't make any sense why they would retroactively give Idris Elba's character a son and John Boyega just, it hurts the movie even more that they're not letting him be a new character.
Yeah.
Is that they've got him tethered to a character that was really good and really unique in the first one. And he's just like, they're hoping that that makes you care about him more.
Mm-hmm.
And, but only to make him a completely, like, completely act differently. He's a junk trader, which,
yeah,
in the futuristic sci-fi world of Pacific Rim, why are they junk trade? They start off with like a guy who's like, like the scene from Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's just like, you screwed me over and you owe me money. Time mm-hmm. to die. And then it's like, oh, I gotta make a break for it.
Yeah. And that takes up like the first 10 minutes of the movie. Like all this stuff.
Just right off the bat, it's incorrect.
No. Yeah.
None of this is why people liked Pacific Rim. None of this is why Pacific Rim got made. It's just all wrong and it never gets on the right track. It takes over an hour for the first monster to appear, and the first monster that appears on screen doesn't even get killed by a robot.
Yeah, it just dies, like, because the good guys succeed. It's really just a baffling way. And that's what I mean. It's a baffling way to go with it. And that's what I meant when it's like, you know, there's like obvious trite things you could do with a sequel to Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm.
And this does a lot of it, I guess, or some of it.
Some of it.
But it's like, it really is like, why did you do this? Like, this isn't, like, you had to try to get it here.
To get, like, it this wrong.
Yeah, like, just, you know, already, like you're saying, the whole, like, legacy aspect is already, even that, like, that's already, like, a bad decision,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it's, like, this recent. It's like, it's only been 5 years. It's not like everybody's like, I've moved on from Pacific Rim.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
it's even more redundant because Idris Elba's character already had a child.
Yeah.
Make it about her. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's really,
what if Star Wars Episode 7 began, and this is the last Star Wars thing I'll say, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But Star Wars Episode 7 begins, 70-year-old man, Blake Skywalker, the son of Darth Vader and the half-brother of Luke Skywalker, who we have never met before.
Yeah.
He's
but
a
who
junk
we all know
trader.
So well.
Yeah.
It's just,
I'm trying to make people understand which I guess if you watch this movie, you should understand. It's just ass backwards. Right off the bat, you should know, nah, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
My bad. Nah, you're right. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
And it's one thing to you know, it's like, here's Idris Elba's son. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, I had figured there would be a plot like, my dad abandoned me to go fight in the war. Oh, he didn't know he I was his son.
You get away with that in Creed because that character's been dead for so long.
Yeah, and just he had like a cocky attitude, so you can believe, you know.
It's grounded enough, but it's also, you know, that movie took place 40 years after the movie where Apollo Creed died.
Yeah.
This movie was made 5 years later.
And 10 years after the original movie.
Yeah, it takes place after.
Yeah. But no, they go with it. It's like, I was here the whole time, you know, and it's like, and there's like a picture of him with fucking,
they give a close up
Mako
to this horribly photoshopped picture where he's like, they've got him in like a hoodie
yeah.
and he's tacked onto this picture, you know, where I don't even think any of them were actually in that setting, whatever reference picture they used, but they've just slapped Idris Elba and the Macro Girl and John Boyega.
And it's like...
It's horrifying. It's one of those images that makes you sick to your stomach because of how half-assed faked it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, it's just like, I don't believe you.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I don't believe you.
You're lying through your fucking teeth.
Yeah, that did not happen.
This right? isn't about telling a story. This is about seeing what you can get away with.
It's, yeah, yeah. But I mean, I can't stress how strange it is to me to go that way with it. It's so strange that, you know, this is obviously like, you know, like a product more right. than more of a product than the other one, mm-hmm. you know, which it's like, I don't want to act like the original Pacific Rim is like the highest art, but it's about as good as you get with a movie like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just trying to be that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember hearing people like nitpick certain lines or like, you know, tropes that it had, but
yeah,
you know,
we
it's
did.
Like,
we when we reviewed it, you know, we were like, oh, there's a little plot hole, or this doesn't exactly
yeah.
hold up on the 10th viewing.
But why are you worried about that with that movie? It's, mm-hmm. it's not acting like it's anything else.
Right.
It's just a very effective one of those. A very, very effective. And this is obviously...
You can pull off a lot of shit mm-hmm. if you're just sincere.
Yeah.
If you just make something with sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, if you wanted to boil this down... those two movies down and find out the key ingredient
yeah.
that made them different. It's sincerity.
Definitely. Yeah. Cause this is a total product, you know,
like even before integrity.
Yeah.
There is sincerity.
Yeah. It's you know, this is something a studio made, you mm-hmm. know, and they got people to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, you know, fine, but it's so baffling that the way it's structured and written and how dull it is. Mm-hmm. How you could, I was saying it during the movie, but how you could turn in a script where, you know, for a giant monster movie, you know, like this, you know, that's supposed to be like a crowd pleaser, right? Mm. If nothing else. And the first monster doesn't show up until like an actual hour
mm-hmm.
into the movie. You know, I'm baffled that like, you know, whoever was in, who was reading mm-hmm. this stuff wasn't like, go back and
yeah,
rewrite the, like, why is it like this? There's so little, there's so few set pieces, you know?
Yeah.
In the first one, it's like there's almost too much set piece for an actual mm-hmm. movie to take place, which it yeah. works. It, you know, the movie's good. But this one has like nowhere near enough. It's like a lot of people talking, techno babble, a lot of that, which there's plenty in the other one. But, you know, there's nothing behind any of this. There's no like basic story that we follow. John Boyega isn't really trying to overcome anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's like sort of something there where it's like the legacy of his father.
Yep. They don't even use that though.
No. There, yeah. He doesn't
like,
over.
People make passing comments, but there's never anything that he has to overcome.
No. Yeah. He doesn't live up. I mean, I guess he maybe kind of does, but he doesn't like, you know, nobody really ever says like you're a disappointment, which is what that should be. If mm-hmm. you're going to go with that plot. You know, you're a disgrace to your father's
mm-hmm.
name. You know, your father was the best hell damn pilot
yeah.
we ever saw. No, they're kind of like your dad was in the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then will you come and be the main character, please?
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange. So many baffling decisions. Charlie Day, I'm sure that is very talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The turn Charlie Day's character.
I didn't know until we watched it today, so I guess
I had heard about
not
this.
Not talked about that much.
I thought you'd said something. Maybe you were talking about Mako dying.
I definitely
yeah,
told you about that
yeah,
part.
Yeah, you were like, I think you were like, I don't know if you want it spoiled, but I found it something really shitty about, you know.
Yeah.
But I figured. It's so funny. I think she's in Babel, this movie. I think it's one of the Inuaritu
yeah.
movies. She's really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty good in Pacific Rim, too. She's got a lot of, you know, like I said, it's not the highest art, but
mm-hmm.
she's pretty good. And in this, it, to me, it felt like she didn't want to be there.
I got the same vibe, and I don't know what came first, her character dying, and then the result was she didn't want to be there, or she didn't want to be there, and the result was her character dying.
Could be either way.
But
it's a very strange thing to
kill
her.
It just comes off as, like, so fucking mean.
yeah,
and disrespectful.
Yeah,
like it. All of the fights take place during day, and they look ugly and flat.
Yeah, not dynamic at all. It's like really just like all the colors are way too saturated. It's like I'm watching something else, you know?
Yeah.
It's just totally different aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if people were, if this was at a point when people started getting embarrassed about being serious, you know, about being at all edgy.
Maybe.
Again, I feel like there was a post-Dark Knight sort of embarrassment towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just flipped over to the other side where people were trying too hard to be energetic and fun.
Yeah.
But this is just wrong. You know, it's like they're embarrassed to be making Pacific Rim at times.
Everything that would ever piss me off. This movie's tailor-made to piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
People saying shit like epic and was that supposed to happen? And, you know, they might as well have said, in English, please. You know?
I thought Charlie Day was going to fucking say that when the lady spoke Chinese to him. At one point, like, yelling at him.
That would be funny.
In English, like, he's fucking kind of racist.
Yeah, well, that line's always associated with, like, a character saying something smart.
Yeah,
and that would
be
funny to hear it said in replying to another language.
Yeah, yeah. That it looks like he can kind of speak, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
so.
No, but no.
That's weird. It's all so weird. I mean, there's some obvious things in here. So, and I'm sure they're ideas that anybody would have.
Mm-hmm.
Probably what Del Toro brought in. I don't know what ideas, if any, ended up in the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
Having two Jaegers fight, that's a pretty obvious way to go.
Yeah.
Rogue Jaeger. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
To up and have something different.
Yeah, but they don't make it fun.
No, not really. It's not cool like you might think it is. It just...
There should be, like, intrigue. Like, why is this happening? And there's even points when I feel like maybe they want you to think that, but they never dedicate enough time to it. The movie's paced like asterisks.
Yeah. It jerks forward. It's
editing is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll get shot, reverse shot in the same scene, just cutting like twice a second.
It's really
for no reason. There's a scene early on when John Boyega walks into that girl's like warehouse or whatever, and he's like walking across the room, and there's like no blocking. It's like walking from one corner of a small room to the other, and they cut like three times, you know, on action. The action being he's walking very slowly, and it was at that point I realized like, holy shit. Edited by a fucking moron.
Somebody that maybe didn't like what they were doing, maybe.
I don't know. Somebody try to fucking save it.
Some of it is like preventable. Like, you know, the shots are pretty flat all the time. There's
just
not
let
really...
it breathe at the very least. Yeah. Let the movie fucking breathe for a second.
It seems, I don't know how this could happen with a professional editor other than having, you know, somebody from a studio breathing down your neck saying, like, it needs to be more exciting, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the only thing I could think. And I would imagine that's the most likely series of events. But it's really disorientingly edited.
Mm-hmm.
Scene to scene editing is just like wonk, wonk, wonk. Like,
you can't tell where people... We both thought John Boyega's walking into his house.
Yeah.
That for when he was following that girl home, there's a cut when she gets chased by police and then they show him like breathing and then he walks to this place and it's
during day. It goes from night to day.
Right. And it looks like he gave up on chasing her and went home.
No, he's sneaking into her house. It's really strange. You'd think you'd have a shot of him like, okay, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Close, you know, tight shot of his face. Goes in, you know, but no, it's
it's hard to tell how much time has passed during
mm-hmm.
some things. There was like 20 minutes passes after Mako dies. And then somebody's like, that lady we laid to rest today. And it's like, holy shit, this is the same day.
Yeah. Are y'all fucking for real right now? No, it's not. I feel like I've seen the sun rise and fall
completely. There's a part later on when Charlie Day launches all the drones.
Yeah.
And there's a few like landing at the Pacific Rim Jaeger place. I don't know what to call it.
The Jaegermeister?
Yeah, the Jaegermeister. And I remember in that scene, we were both like, why is this happening? Like, why are they even coming here?
Yeah, maybe we missed a line.
But anyway, they start like going rogue or whatever.
Yeah.
And that would have been a great opportunity to have a big set piece where there's like all these Jaegers fighting other Jaegers. There's like, you know, a siege going on, and the good Jaegers need to be stopping the portals from opening, but instead they're getting bombarded at their own base. But instead what happens is you just watch a bunch of people cower from CG explosions.
Yeah.
And the robots beat up on robots with nobody in them.
Yeah, yeah. They all get destroyed.
So it's like a non-starter.
Yeah.
There's nothing. You're watching nothing happen. And then the problem gets solved like remotely. Mm-hmm. Like the guy with the cane with MS or whatever he has from the first movie. I don't know what he's supposed to have, cerebral palsy, but he like presses a button and they all explode.
Yeah. He figures something out and it's like, oh, okay.
This is horrible writing.
Yeah.
Finding excuses at every turn to turn something that's supposed to be exciting into mind-numbing boring.
Yeah. It's forgetting the appeal. You know, the whole appeal of Pacific Rim is like, oh, big, visceral.
I don't think this movie ever knew the appeal. I don't think it even forgot. I don't think it ever knew. There were points when I was watching this, and it's like, were you just told about the first one? Like, did you actually ever watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you just hear about it? Because there's... when Charlie Day is talking to his friend, I can't remember what they call him.
I can't remember.
Gutenberg. I don't know what they call him. Guggenheim.
It's the guy, the math guy.
So they're talking and.
Which they fuck that up too.
They completely don't get me started. But, they're talking and Charlie Day's like, yeah, I remember. You remember when we drifted with that kaiju back then? Oh yeah, I remember that. Good times. It's like, these characters would never fucking say that.
No, they don't like each other.
And also, this is never, like, what the, why would you do that in a sequel?
Yeah.
I remember a scene from the previous movie, and they're not doing another thing that, like, they're not saying, like, you know, what happened while we were doing that was actually something else that's worth going back and revisiting. There's an aspect of it that we would need to fill the audience in on. It's like, no. We're just acknowledging that, there is that aspect, but, which they're not interested in making that like a big reveal or anything.
No.
That just sort of happens, but they get it wrong. But yeah, the guy with MS, I don't know if he actually has.
He might have like an injured leg.
I always got the vibe that he was supposed to have like it's some kind of disease.
I know what you mean. Like he's almost supposed to evoke some sort of Stephen Hawking thing, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just that he's an academic.
They fuck his character up in every conceivable way.
They really do.
Every conceivable way. They have him, I mean, they might as well have him walking around with a fucking boombox on his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's supposed to be like a precocious like mathematician.
Yeah, he's a germaphobe.
Yeah, he's a
recluse.
Mm-hmm. He's got like a big chalkboard full of equations in the first one, and he gets pissed off because Charlie Day is getting, you know, organs on his side of the room.
Right. One of the first scenes we get with him in this movie is he's arms deep into a fucking kaiju brain. It's like it's nothing.
That's not his job. He's not a biologist.
He's not. And also, I brought it up when we were watching this, but part of what made the first movie so good is that the environment's that housed the characters reflected some aspect of who those characters are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what made it, like, more than just a shitty action blockbuster.
And that's, like, a lot of what elevates, like, a lot of Guillermo del Toro's movies. Mm-hmm. Is, like, this, like, really, really, really great lived-in set design.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something you'll always, that always stands out to you. Like, you know?
This guy, he was, like, he didn't have a room full of computers, even though it was the future and there's all this technology and shit. He had a chalkboard because he's like a tactile,
mm-hmm.
old school, like he needs to see everything laid out in front of him.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, in the first one, there's a great feeling of like they're on like kind of the back pedal, you know, like everybody's getting crammed into this little thing. They're about to shut down the program. There's all this stuff going on.
Right, yeah. And the first room you see him in here is like holograms everywhere and computers and gray hallways and neon lights and shit. And it's just like, that's not, this doesn't gel with who he is. And there's a fight scene with him.
Oh yeah.
I fully believed. I fully believed after he got out of that elevator, he's like, you know, I'm gonna help or whatever. I thought they were gonna put him in a Jaeger.
That would be
sick. I was convinced.
Give him a little cane.
That he was give the Jaeger a cane.
Yeah, give the Jaeger.
I really expected him to be in a Jaeger. That's how bad they fucked up his character.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like reminiscing and he's like a chatterbox
hello,
in this
hello,
one.
Hello, old friend, and it's like no.
He's
no,
like
no,
an
no,
optimistic
no, no. No,
guy
yeah.
and he's treating Charlie Day like they're best friends.
They like kind of respected each other at the end. You know, because they get
after they go through a ton of shit together.
Yeah, yeah.
You see them barely, you know, their relationship barely evolves into like, okay, we're gonna have to be yeah. friends, you know, because mm-hmm. we work well together. But it's all fucked up. I think that kind of epitomizes a lot of what's wrong with the movie is just that guy and their relationship.
Yeah,
just be like they. They might as well be brand new characters
mm-hmm.
because they behave nothing like they did before. And they both brought something. They both brought a specific energy to that role in the first movie.
Desperately needed.
And here it's like somebody wiped a drawing off the dry erase board with a towel and it's blank now.
Yeah.
These could be played by anybody.
Seriously. It's
remember how Charlie Day was always kind of neurotic and... And,
yeah, babbling and like talking a lot, and we would have these big,
energetic.
Long, you know, like sweeping shots where he's talking to people and filling people in,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And he's talking when he's not really supposed to, and he's getting yeah. himself into trouble, but he's onto something.
But he's the best man they've got, you know. He and the other guy brought great energy to the first one,
mm-hmm.
kept it from being too serious. Charlie Day's got charisma. You know, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's good, for especially for something like that. It's fun. And he was playing off the other guy really well. You know, and
this... it was fun whenever, like...
Yeah, yeah.
It was fun when they cut away from mm-hmm. something going on to them.
Yeah.
It was always something interesting. And here, I feel nothing.
They have given them
When I see them on
shit.
Screen, I want the scene to be over.
That's whatever.
I want them to move on, because yeah. it's all uninteresting and boring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to make Charlie Day a villain, too... is like so like
if you're gonna do that, that needs to be the entire movie.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? Like that needs to be like a turn that we either see play out over the course of this movie or through some kind of flashbacks integrated throughout mm-hmm. the movie.
And like, the fact that they take like a charming character,
yeah,
a charming actor, yeah. and then it's like he's a bad guy now, and it's like, oh, that sucks. I really liked him in the
right. My thing, because those two characters have always been at odds, and mm-hmm. I thought that if you're going to go the route that, like, Charlie Day is a bad guy, Charlie Day wouldn't realize he's a bad guy, I don't think.
No, no.
Have them disagree on something that ends up making Charlie Day the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, just because he's wrong.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
he gets something wrong,
mm-hmm.
ends up being on the bad side.
No, he's fucking possessed by a brain.
Yeah, he's possessed. He's, like, speaking in a demonic voice.
Yeah.
And they're calling the aliens now, they're calling them the precursors.
It's such a fucking bland sci-fi thing to give to those.
Yeah. And the only, the what's really funny is that they say precursors so many times throughout the movie, but the only time we actually see the precursors
oh,
is
yeah.
a shot that was made for the previous movie.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even bother elaborating on that. It's just like, no, we're gonna claim that. What they did, which of course they would be fascinated with that part of the first Pacific Rim because that was one of the most least interesting.
No, yeah, it's like here's
that's one of the blandest.
Here's why the giant monsters are here. You don't really care, you
right?
Know.
Oh,
here's
there's,
what
there's
they
little
have.
There's little aliens that want to conquer the Earth.
They want. Here.
I'm making the jerk off motion with my hand.
Yeah, we'll blow it up at the end. That's how they be. Okay,
right.
You've got it. You know,
it does not fucking matter.
No.
But, of course, these people were like, yes, and we're going to name them, and we're going to talk about them a lot, and they're going to possess Charlie Day, and...
Just blown. And even the reveal of him being a villain is fucked. You know, mm-hmm. He's kind of acting weird, and you kind of get this vibe from it. It's like, oh, he's working for a company? That's kind of... Which the company just ends up being good, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, like... That could almost feel like a subversive thing, but it doesn't even feel like you were doing something
mm-hmm.
to begin with, so I don't even know what to make of it. But, like, they cut from him, like, acting, like, a little weird to he's, like, coming home and he's like, hey, honey, you know, which is, like, I don't know. It's an almost interesting way to have that play out. is that he's treating it like his wife or something.
Right.
He's lost his mind, but...
Mm-hmm. But it's hard to tell because he's still kind of acting
yeah.
a little bit like Charlie Day.
And then, you know, he's got it, and it's like, oh, is that the big reveal? But then we're still getting scenes with him, you know, like, coming into... And not, like, the movie doesn't act like these, you know, his presence has been recontextualized.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he's just, like, walking in, and it's like, it's supposed to be, like, another big reveal when he's like, I'm actually evil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Turns to the camera, eyes glow red. And it's like, yeah, yep, I know. Like, why is that scene with him coming home still in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, why'd you tell me?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
There's so much fucked up about this.
Yeah.
Because there's big, broad story stuff like that that conflicts with sort of intangible stuff from the first one.
Yeah.
A lot of it's like feeling, like, oh, this feels wrong.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem right. But even at more rudimentary subjects like cinematography, set design, editing, sound design, all of it is just a horrible shell
mm-hmm.
of what Pacific Rim was like. I remember there's a scene when John Boyega, which is a horrible, horrible, I hate when movies do this, it's like an improvised, like, oh, why don't you shut your big mouth, oh yeah, like, just
mm-hmm.
this fake ass banter between two people who have no interest in actually knowing each other.
It's like, fucking, it's for whenever I see shit like that, it's like, why'd you make the actors do that? Like, if I had a director, like, just be like, just do a little improv, you know, something like that, I'd be apologizing, be like, oh god, I hope they don't put that in the movie.
You yeah, that should.
Could
not
you just
have
give me a fucking line, please?
Anyway, they go to jail, and it's like a regular jail cell, and there's like nothing on the walls, and it's yeah. plain, and it looks like it could have been a jail made in the 90s or something.
It looks like I don't know why, but it was reminding me of the jail in Licorice Pizza. Whenever it looked like it could have been in that. You
yeah,
know? It's like just a regular,
but
American style.
Everything. We remarked on it when we reviewed the first Pacific Rim, the part when the main guy is like meeting with Idris Elba about going back to be a Jaeger pilot.
Mm-hmm.
There's that like big moldy circle of concrete behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, there's like a featurette where they talk about like putting a lot of work into that little odd piece of set decoration.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you laugh at that and you think, like, why would you need that? And then you watch this and they're just, like, sitting in, like, whatever the fucking closest jail in Los Angeles or wherever they
yeah,
filmed
it,
this.
Yeah, it looks like it could just be L.A. Like, there's no dressing to it at all. There's and no, it, like, you know.
It's like, I feel like I'm watching a fan film. I feel like I'm watching yeah. a YouTube video, like, some foreign guy in a chair is going to pop up in a second and teach me how to do that in 10 minutes in After Effects. That's
yeah.
what this whole movie is, with the blue and green, or blue and green,
blue
and
orange
color palette that's in every shot.
These fucking Dutch angles. It looks like Transformers at times, which, you know.
It's trying to imitate a movie.
Yeah.
This is some sickening little creature trying to pretend to be art, and I hate it.
Yeah. It's really strange. It's
I'm
not.
I'm pretty sure it's not anamorphic. It looks cropped to me. They're cutting off people's heads all the time.
Yeah, which they're still keeping their faces center, you know. But
yeah,
it's like it. Yeah, it seems weird. And also, just the light doesn't bloom like it would with anamorphic. You know, not to mention film, but you know.
Normally, I wouldn't even care, but it's just so much of this movie seems half-ass, and for them to not even shoot it anamorphic or.
Or at least follow
it
the
in
fucking
an authentic,
yeah.
Aspect ratio is like, well, fucking of course.
Or like it,
they
it
can't
seems,
do anything right.
It looks like they didn't follow frame guides or something. You know, like if I don't know if they decided to put it in that aspect ratio afterwards. You know, but it's like
there's so much fucking wrong with this. There's these compositions where just like everything will be like
yeah.
slammed to one side of the frame, and then the rest of the frame is empty.
Which is like
empty.
You just fucked up how to use that aspect ratio. Unless you're like trying to do something with
right,
that,
yeah.
you know, it's like one of the things you can do. If you're like any cinematographer talk about anamorphic,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're like, well, one reason to do that is the way you can stage people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have a lot in the frame, and there's a lot you can have going on.
Yeah,
it's just different. You know,
you have to worry about the two sides of the frame.
Yeah,
like having interesting things in both.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to load a frame up with information, though, you know? And when you got a lot of shit going on, which this movie kind of tries to have a lot going on, but it doesn't really, it loses its focus constantly. But yeah, it's really strange. Yeah, everything's wrenched to one side, and it's like, ew. You know, immediately.
It looks horrible. I feel like this, a lot of what this movie looks like is like camera reviews or like lighting reviews. Like, all right, guys, we're going to review the new Aperture 600 light. Here's something I whipped together in my living room.
Here's what the new Atlas Orion, you know,
low
looks like.
Effort,
yeah.
Cheap, which I don't know. There's nothing wrong with people doing gear reviews trying to give pointers. But
when you're looking
like,
at a $150 million movie.
Right.
You know,
and there's like not even a story worth being told there.
No, yeah, it's frustrating. And to know that this stems from something that's really inspired
makes it more painful.
Yeah,
makes it harder to accept.
And it's just like so soulless, and it's weird. It's not even trying to ape Pacific Rim. Is the strangest thing to me. It's like trying to get something else, and it's like, why are you even doing any of this? Do you not like Pacific Rim? That's almost the vibe I get.
Yeah. But I saw an article, I swear, a long time ago that said the guy who made this had problems with the first Pacific Rim. I can't find it. I did see something that said he wanted the third one to have Godzilla and King Kong in it, so.
Damn.
Fuck you.
Damn.
Fuck you.
My good
Eat
golly.
Shit. I want to play with other. I want to play with your toys.
Yeah, seriously.
Let me see your toys. Let me play with your toys.
What can we say? Music sucks. When the original theme kicks in every now and then, it's just a reminder, you know, of like how
you're not watching a good movie.
Yeah, it's like ba-na-na-na, ba-na-na-na, and it's like, oh,
don't do that. Don't even not at this point, man.
It's really strange. This whole movie's so fucking weird the way it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Just I have no idea how you would have to be. I mean, what ideas do you go into this with?
It's pretty clear to me that the people who made this have never had a single fucking idea in their life.
Damn. Yeah.
I'm not trying to perform anger.
I know.
For the people listening, but the more I talk about this, it's more like, Jesus Christ, why the fuck did anybody make this?
Yeah, it's really lame, and it's like without a personality. I could live with something still soulless sequel. You know, but this is really just like, why did you like this?
This makes
me feel lonely.
I wanted to like this. I was ready to have fun with this.
Yeah.
I was ready to be like, okay, preconceived ideas of what this should be. Take those out back and shoot them in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. I'm just ready to have fun. Just do something cool.
Yeah.
Just let's have fun. Let's have a big, flashy, expensive, mind-numbing monster movie. And this somehow fucking disappointed in that, too.
Yeah.
Like, the most basic role that this movie should fulfill.
It's really strange.
Green screen looks bad.
Yeah, in a lot of places where
go
it's
back
like,
to another.
Y'all, come on.
Within the first 10 minutes of the movie, there were shots that had my mouth gaped open.
There's one where they back away. Holy shit. That one where they back away from fucking Charlie Day. They like, you know, I don't know what you'd call it in terms of digital effects, but they basically like, you know, dolly away.
Mm-hmm.
We pull away from Charlie Day, and he's like, he just opened a window to something.
Oh God,
remember
I forgot
that?
About
and then
that.
It goes away, and it's like they've composited, you know, this frame of him in a studio, right, into this CG world. Not an impossible thing to do.
They've done this in big sci-fi franchises dating back decades at this point, successfully. I remember when...
it's a simple fucking thing to do.
Have you seen Star Trek 1?
No, I haven't, actually.
There's points, you know, because they're doing everything with fucking flat 2D planes. They're, like, projecting images of people inside spaceships, but there are a few scenes when you watch, like, Captain Kirk inside of a what do they call it? A pod or whatever.
A shuttle.
Shuttle. And you watch it turn, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
You know, somebody's turned in the fucking crank. Like, yeah.
But, you know, it looks rough.
Yeah.
It looks rough. There's some stuff in Alien that kind of looks a little rough.
Yeah,
but I just thought that was more or less impossible now.
To fuck it up?
Yeah. You're doing everything, you know, in After Effects. I could do that more convincingly.
You can leave a little fucking thing on the screen. You can just track. I mean, just track it right. You know what?
He's like distorting.
Yeah,
one, he changes and like becomes like flatter. It's,
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how something goes wrong. I mean, it would have to be like something where it's like, oh fuck, they didn't do this right, so now it looks wonky when I put my shot in here. But yeah, it's like they pull away from it. It's like, oh my god, like it just, you know, even if you don't, even if you're just a regular fucking viewer. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know anything about compositing. You know, you're going to go, oh, that looked weird. Oh, this isn't real. Green screen parts. There's like the kids when they're outside and they're about to go into a robot or something.
Mm-hmm. Anything outside looks horrible.
It's really strange. It's really strange that they messed that up.
It's so
bad.
Funny. If you look in the background, like all of the extras are CG people.
Really?
I didn't
focus on them.
It's funny because I don't think they did a whole lot of CG extras in the Tokyo sequence,
mm-hmm.
but there's like, you know, these huge shots of like city streets and stuff, and there's like 12 people running away in one of the most populated cities on Earth. There's like 10 people running around. It's so funny.
Yeah.
This has no reason to be this bad.
Remember all the cool nooks and crannies in the first one? Like, you know, you got Ron Perlman's whole, like, you know, we got like a whole underbelly of this world, and
yeah,
there's like normal
there's
people.
There's like 5 minutes in Hong Kong,
yeah,
and it feels like living,
so
breathing. I remember seeing a featurette on how they did that. They like, you know, built a tiny street,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, and they did that all in a studio, and then I think they composited it with a few shots of actual Hong Kong. But that part is so, it feels so fucking alive.
Yeah.
Like even if you couldn't place it, which you can place it, but even if you didn't know where that was, it felt real.
Yeah.
It could have been a fucking fake fantasy world and it still felt real because of everything.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on.
Yeah,
and
we could talk in circles forever. I have trouble knowing what's going on. This may, I guess I'll kind of, if you want to start wrapping things up.
Yeah, I mean, you can go on as long as you want.
So, I mean, a lot of this movie, you know, I don't know if there's something wrong with me. But, you know, throughout a lot of it, I'm like, wait, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like, I mean, like overarching, like, you know, what am I watching a story about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the fucking conflict? What's the threat? What's the big threat? It takes an hour to figure that out. You know, there's like some sort of like vague lines where it's like the kaiju are going to come back, you know, and it's like, okay, why do you think that, you know?
Charlie Day just says, I'm going to take over, or I'm going to end the world.
Yeah.
That's his grand plan.
And it's like,
Because in the original movie, the idea was that those little alien people wanted to terraform the world so that they could live there.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Charlie Day, who was possessed by one of those, or all of them, I guess. I think they said they were like a hive mind in the first one.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is now possessed, and his grand plan is to end the world?
I guess. Maybe he means terraform it. But by the end of the movie, it's like these three monsters get out through these portals that were opened by... And just knowing the stakes, it's like, okay, what's going on? They start heading towards Mount Fuji. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if I wasn't. But, you know, this big mega monster with these nanomachines that come out of nowhere, these little tiny monsters or robots or something, they make a mega monster. And it kills children. And then it starts heading for Mount Fuji, and, you know, after like a pretty lame fight, where it's like, that's another thing they get wrong, where it's like, the guys in Gypsy Danger are like intentionally bringing down buildings, you know?
Yeah. And
which is like another thing.
They're pulling down like 8 buildings on top of the monster and it doesn't even hurt it.
Fucking, you know, in the first one, they're like intentionally saving people. They're like going out of their way.
Yeah, they rescue that little boat with like 5 people on it.
Yeah, and it's like they're it's like cool because like it's acknowledging like, oh, you don't want to smash buildings if you can help it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the obvious context of that. And, you know, every time they hit a building, you know, it feels like, oh, shit, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this, he's just like pulling down buildings on purpose with a little like Gmod gravity gun, that he has now. And it's like not doing anything. And it's like, but anyway, so this big monster starts heading towards Mount Fuji, which is just really a stone's throw from Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, if you look at the way Japan's laid out, it's pretty much just Mount Fuji and Tokyo next to each other, and there's actually not much else.
And there's like some grass and stuff, but you know, maybe some trees, I think, too.
I think they have a castle.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the monster goes to Mount Fuji, and they act like, we have to stop it from getting to Mount Fuji, you know?
Right.
And it's like,
why is it going there? Why do you need to stop it? Why is there any urgency?
Guessing there's a portal. Something, that's the only thing I can think of. What are they going to do? Are they going to I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so, but then they, oh yeah, they get on rockets from Jaeger base. These monsters are, like, out, I guess, for days.
Yeah.
Just out.
They set it up, and they're like, there's one in South Korea, there's one in, I think they say Hong Kong or something.
Yeah, and then there's another one in somewhere else.
And so the obvious path to go down is either the Jaegers have to take them on one at a time,
mm-hmm.
progressing until because they're like the big boy or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So obviously that's going to be the last one they fight. But I don't know. It would have been kind of cool to see either like the team splits up.
Yeah.
And they have to fight them at different locations at the same time.
Oh, right.
They're
looks
all
like
together.
You've got to go complete your character arcs one at a time, you know.
Right.
Pretty easy.
Or they all go attack one at a time.
And they learn to work together. Something.
Yeah.
No,
and
they don't really.
Or they get whittled down to the only the mm-hmm. best fighters left by the time they get to the last one, and they're worn out, and it's, you know, barely, it's an uneven fight.
And you have to overcome your trauma to win the fight.
But instead.
Nope.
Cut, they're all together at the same place and they're fighting them, and the first like clash that they have is like the monster rushes at them and then they just stab it and throw it over their shoulder and then they keep running.
It's like, okay, all right.
Remember how cool it was the first, you know, them struggling in the first movie, like ripping each other apart and punching each other. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking gone.
Yeah, no, that's not here. Everybody gets along basically on the team.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a pretense of like, well, I don't know why the hell you're here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's like resolved before the actual conflict kicks in.
Yeah.
You know? And there's no like, there's like sort of like this story about like, oh, they've got Jaegers that can be controlled remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But it's like, how didn't they know that, like, they all have, like, kaiju brains in them? How would nobody have known? It seems like the CEO of the company is like, what have you been doing
mm-hmm.
to Charlie Day? It's like, damn, I thought that lady, like, was maybe, like, she designed these or something.
Yeah.
I thought she was a bad guy.
Yeah.
No. Charlie Day was just able to do that.
Also, that lady just disappears at the end. I don't know if I missed a scene where she died.
Yeah, she's in the little Jaeger.
She brings the little robot to them.
Yeah.
And saves them, and then at the end she's just gone.
I mean, maybe we have some horrible misunderstanding. I'm pretty certain she was in there.
I swear I saw her in there. She was right here.
But yeah, it's like crumbled in the ground behind John Boyega and the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh fuck, is she... Is she dead?
Did she die?
Holy shit.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's really, really baffling. But like, so there's this team of kids. They've got like little kids in the Jaeger program for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's like...
And that's like the whole Jaeger program is like just a room with eight kids.
I don't know if I missed something. Maybe they were supposed to be like the trainees, the tiny little, you know, gifted program of some sort. You know, because there's like Jaeger pilots that die in that mm-hmm. onslaught, in the rising action, you know, end of first act set piece that happens an hour into the movie, an hour into an hour and 50-minute movie. So, but I don't really get the sense that it's like, all right, we've got to resort to these untrained, you know, loose cannon kids, you know, that
these there's rookies.
These rookies that have a bunch of tension in between each other because they're all kids and they're all, you know, pissed off and, you know, whatever. But like, and there's like this hint, there's like one girl that doesn't like the scrap junk dealer girl, you know, she's like, which, you know, for no reason, it's like, nice Jaeger, bitch. You know, you know, I don't like you, bitch. And it's like, okay, I don't know what the fuck. You know, I worked here to get, I worked to get here, you know, or some bullshit. And it's like, I don't care. Yeah. But that, like, they get into a fight and then, but instead of like, oh, I did something to earn your respect, I saved your life. Oh, I showed that I'm selfless. No, like before they've even like done a thing together, it's like, hey, next Jaeger, you make it big. And it's like, what the fuck? You don't you hate her? Why do you like her? Like, why are you, where the fuck did that come from? But so when we get to the point where they're all fighting, it's like they're all together. Like there's no tension, you know, the kid in the Jaeger with the Russian kid who plays Trollolol should be like, turn that shit off. It's cringy.
Between
but nothing.
Between the troll song being in this and the Tide Pod bleach drinking thing in Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I think movie makers are telling giant monster fans that suicide is an option.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Remember in the beginning of this movie when like John Boyega is scrapping for Jaeger parts and there's this girl and she's building like a trash robot and they're being chased all around like a post-apocalyptic world, like hellscape.
What appeared to be, I guess.
I got the vibe that in the beginning of this movie, they're like, okay, remember that this almost happened. The world almost ended. And so now everything's in ruin. It's like, okay, I guess they're taking a while to rebuild, but you know, I guess the world almost ended.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably fucking died. Okay. And then like two scenes later, they're like in Miami and there's like, everything's fine. They go to Tokyo. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Looks great.
Everything's normal.
Beautiful city. Yeah.
That's more of a cinema sending
than
most of our complaints have been.
But it's just like constantly, it's like, what's going on? What context am I in? You know, what are the stakes with anything?
All these tiny little things are stacking up to one big pile of poo-poo.
Yeah. But then it just ends, too. The movie just ends.
And there's a really shitty, not even post-credit, but pre-credit,
post-movie. Like, title.
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird. Like, John Boyega and the girl, like, throwing snowballs at each other after winning. And, you know, somebody says something, the girl like yells something happily, and then it's like Pacific Rim uprising. What more can I say? It's like, fuck you. Fuck you. It's like, you know, it's like in the Big Lebowski whenever, you know, Sam Elliott's like, well, that about does her, doesn't it? It's like, you know, well, time to end the movie.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone. Here's a post-credit scene or whatever.
Pre-credit.
Yeah, Charlie Day's getting tortured, which is great that a charming character's, you know, now possessed and being tortured and interrogated. You know, that's a great place to end. You know, and John Boyega's like, we're going to take the fight to you. You know, it's like, sure you are.
No, you won't. There will never be a Pacific Rim 3. Thank God.
Yeah, just fucking leave it.
What a fucking horrible way for all this to end up.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll get another good giant monster movie.
Maybe.
If we give it some time.
If we pray, if we say our prayers every night.
Yeah.
And go to church.
Give me the camera. I'll make it. Just give me the camera.
Let me see. How do you press on?
Yeah. Do you want to get into Don Fry scores?
Yes.
I've been kicked in the head by a horse a few times.
I didn't really like this movie. Part of me, when there's this much like money going into a movie, it's like at least they turned the fucking camera on and got exposure okay most of the time. I have this urge to be like, well, you know, there's something here. So it's like I can't give this like the same score as like you know, some Amazon Prime trash, you know, some 45-year-old's first movie made with the, you know,
camcorder.
Not that that can't be good, you know, but yeah, it's like, I can I give this the same, you know, can I say the same thing about both of these, you know, and I don't know. People seeing the ninth Star Wars and being like, it's fucking terrible, 5 out of 10, you know. It's like, you know, I don't want to give it credit for anything. You know, it's like, what can I give it credit for when it's like mostly anything good is just like, you know, some like overworked VFX people, you know, like just doing their job. Fuck, we have to have this ready in a month. 2 out of 10. I mean, it just sort of sucked. There's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways this has less worth than Amazon Prime trash indie horror movies or whatever.
At least there's because somebody fucking real.
At least those never fucking stood a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This had every opportunity at every single turn to be something worth a damn.
At least better than this. Something better than this.
They had all of the tools. All of the tools. You know how fucking lucky you have to be to get to make a movie that plays in fucking movie theaters?
You know how lucky you have to be to be related to someone and be able to make this movie?
I know, but just like...
I don't know if that's the case, but...
Nobody... I don't know. It's just... It's so fucking worthless. Like, the whole thing. It could have been good.
There's not even an idea.
How do you fuck up such a great opportunity?
I don't believe that this is, like, what Guillermo del Toro went in.
Yeah, obviously.
Because like, he obviously had, like, some sort of idea. I thought maybe they would have, like, snatched his shit and said, like, we got it, you know. I don't blame him for making The Shape of Water instead.
Yeah.
I'm glad he did.
If it was down to that.
Good.
Whatever.
He did the right thing.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I'm going to give this a fucking zero if I can.
Damn.
I don't know if that's an option. I think I used to stop at one, but...
Who cares?
Yeah, let's just give this the lowest possible. Really bummed me out. I mean,
yeah,
it didn't put me in a sour mood, but it was just like, it let me down at every turn.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I can't feel sorry for anybody involved because it's like, you all got paid and you made worthless trash.
Yeah.
Like, why? What happened? You can't be fucked? You can't be fucked to care?
Right.
Okay. Fuck you. 0 out of 10. I didn't like this movie very much, actually.
That's crazy, because I didn't either.
Next, we're going to be watching a movie called Reptilian. Mm. It's also known as Yongary.
Oh.
With two G's instead of the one.
Ooh.